I'm not able to hear you. One second.
I haven't talked yet. Can you hear me?
Oh, can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear
Oh,
me?
yeah. Yep.
Man,
How's it
I'm
going?
shaking. It is so exciting to hear that voice after
Yeah, I'm excited.
7 years, man. Seven
Has it been that
years.
long?
That is crazy. Scotty827.
I came back for a little while. Like, I think I was just doing stuff on the side, and then I came back for like, I don't know, maybe a couple months. I can't remember when it was. It was in like 2019, I think. And I was just like ready to try it, but I was just so like busy and stuff that. Yeah, how are you doing?
Good. Yeah, Clash is the type of game where if you're gonna play it, you pretty much have to be all in.
Yeah, for sure.
You remember the last time that we did this?
No, I don't. I'm trying to think. All those memories are a little dusty.
It was a while ago. The only reason I know is because I was going through memories and looking up old messages and all of that. You and I interviewed Mystic Seven. Do you remember that? So you had just started doing Twitch, and you didn't do Twitch that much. Twitch was still kind of new in the Clash scene, and I can't remember if it was you or if it was somebody else who knew Mystic and got him on your Twitch stream. And I actually think it was the last podcast that you did, if I remember right. I don't even know if you put it out.
No, I would have put it. Was that the one during the war? Was
Yes,
wasn't
you're right. You're right. We warred his clan. That's what it was. So
and
House of L went up against, I can't remember what the name of his clan was. And it was either you or it was ring my bell. What was his name? Shadow. He had 50
Shadow
different name
Tech?
50 what was his name?
Was it Shadow Tech or something?
So the guy who used to just creep everywhere in the House of L, he used to
Oh, Phantom Warlord.
Phantom Warlord, yes.
Yeah.
I think he went over there because he would always go over there after matches, after wars, to say hey to the
Yeah.
people that we played against. You don't see that these days. I mean, you rarely
Ah.
see, unless they're a well-known clan and you're a decently well-known clan, then sure there'll be some back and forth, but I don't hear a lot of that happening anymore. But I think Phantom War, oh my gosh. That is a name I've not heard in a good 7 or 8 years.
Oh,
Phantom Warlord went over there, and then I think he convinced him to get on Twitch with you just to have a conversation. And we ended up talking for like 3 hours. It went till way past my bedtime. I think it was like 1 a.m. in the morning.
for that. And it was, and because we were twitching too, or it was, I think we switched over or something in the middle of it. I can't remember, but. So there, I just remember also it being a lot of stuff going on. Like I remember like screen in front of me and like just stuff in the background. But man,
Yeah.
now that you say that, it's like, wow, yeah.
So that was a different time, definitely. And I know we're talking like old friends who are reconnecting after years and years and years. But for those who are
Feels
newer
like
to the,
yesterday.
it does feel like yesterday, although that was a different time. Like that was a different time in my life. And I just have to tell you, I was going to get into this a little bit later, but that was a really difficult time in my life personally. I was going through some really tough stuff, and the Clash of Clans podcast was one thing that really helped me through. So thank you. I appreciate that very much.
Thank
I
you. I mean,
don't
it was just kind of us hanging around. I mean, hanging out and stuff and doing things. I
Yeah.
mean,
you were the friend. You were the friend that was, you know, across the country that I could listen to every now and again. But before we continue, there are going to be a lot of people who listen to this. I haven't put out a Clash podcast in over a year. I had no plans of putting out another episode, but when I saw that you came back to the game, we're actually friends in the game, and I saw that little green mark pop up, and I was like, holy around. Cow, Scotty827, and I hadn't seen you on in years and years and years. And so this is so funny, too. You know another player who I really, really miss a lot, who I was really close with? You want to take a guess?
Mailman. Or Dirty Dude? Pirate.
Oh, Mailman. Yeah, yeah. So I reconnected with Mailman a few years ago, miss Mailman, and I already told you I miss Dirty Pirate like crazy. But Itachi, Damn. Do you remember Itachi?
Yeah, and in fact, I was like, I saw his name somewhere else, like the name Itachi, and I didn't know it was like a famous name or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about it, and I was like, how would you even go about getting a hold of him? I'm like, I wonder where he is. I wonder what he's doing.
Yeah. So I'm friends with all of his accounts. He has maybe 4 or 5 accounts, I think.
That you know of.
That I know of. No, that's 80, true. Yeah. That,
the 80. True. No.
But
I remember friends all those conversations. Yeah.
But I'm friends with all of his accounts. And so, I mean, it's same as you. Like, if he ever popped up green, I would know it. And I, you know, once a year, I'll go and check out his accounts. He started a clan called Sunset and Clash. And then the description, it said something like, to the best game that was ever created, we had the best of times, I bid you adieu, or something like that.
But he retired a lot. A lot of people retired a lot.
It's true, but his account, main account, Itachi, is still a max Town Hall 10. So he hasn't been back in since 2016 at least. So I bet I miss that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, we'd always talk about very deep things.
Mm-hmm. Good conversations.
Yeah, it was a really like good time. I mean, I think for me too, I mean, there was a lot of stuff going on, and it was a really good group of friends and community that you just wouldn't think would kind of come from an app game. You know what I mean? Like this like huge thing.
Yeah, no, I get
just it. This little thing on a phone,
a little phone game, a little piddly phone game where you build up buildings like Sim City.
Yeah. And just the like the amount of people that wanted to connect and stuff, and like and how many people, how big it actually is on the other side of it. It just was kind of weird to think about.
Yeah, it got pretty big. Like, you got pretty big. I want to go over all that, but why don't you kind of tell everybody who you are, why I'm I guess I'm not really fangirling because I consider you a friend.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely fangirling a little bit. So just before you start, I want to announce that this is Scotty827 from the original Clash of Clans podcast.
The OG.
Started in 2013, right?
I think it was 2012, but I'm 2012. Not sure. It was, God, it must have been like, this was in a way different time.
Mm-hmm.
Like before podcasts were really that popular, you know, like I thought, like in general, compared to now with how popular podcasts are or whatever. And me and Boneyard were hanging out and we were talking about a podcast and decided to do that. I just said, let's just record this. We might as well do that and started it. And then we started it when I was in like there was no war.
Mm-hmm.
Town Hall was 8 was the most right away. Or
yeah, then you were in 2012, if that's the case.
Yeah, and then we just kept making episodes because it was fun and we were meeting people and things were kind of happening. And that went on for, I think, like four and a half years, maybe.
How many episodes you put out?
it must have been well over 200. Because I think it was, I was getting up to into 200s or getting close to 200 somewhere in there. And then there were a bunch of special episodes and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So some of them weren't quite named. I don't really know.
How did you and Boneyard meet? I know you guys were like friends in real life.
Yeah, well, we were friends through a friend. So we didn't know each other that well. Like, we were getting to know each other during the podcast and stuff. And we were just hanging out, like having drinks at my friend's house and stuff. And we were just talking about sci-fi. And so I was thinking about doing a podcast, and we'd been kind of hanging out a bunch at that time. And then he said he wanted to do it. And so we just tried it out. And that was more like a, let's just do a couple episodes, see if we can get it to work. And then we'll maybe do something else. Thing. So, yeah. So I'd kind of maybe known him like a year. I don't really know, actually. At that point. And then, yeah.
The podcast just happened.
Yeah, and then the podcast just happened. And then it kept going. I think it was fewer episodes at first, and then it started to go more and more and a little bit faster at times. And just depending, because after war started, there was a lot more to talk about. Mm-hmm. And the matchups.
A lot of people joined. And that's actually when I joined. So I popped into L in 2014 after wars had started. I actually had a goal of joining One Hive. You remember One Hive?
Yeah. Yep.
So I was a brand new, spanking new Town Hall 9. And it had taken me 6 or 7 months, if I remember right, to get through the first 8 town halls. And I was a maxer at that time, so I maxed out my Town Hall 8, went to Town Hall 9, and then was warring all the time. And funny enough, I was warring with a group of guys that I had met down at the cigar shop. We were all smoking cigars together, and everybody just happened to play Clash Clans. So we played together, and then I was getting more serious than they were about it. People were missing warheads and, you know, we're just spamming barbarians and warheads. And I was like, you know, guys, like I really think I need to find something more serious. And at the same time, I was like, you know what? I was getting into podcasts. I was like, I wonder if there is a Clash of Clans podcast. And yeah. Yours was the only one, like literally the only Clash of Clans podcast that I could sign. And of course you were in House of L. And so I popped in you remember the password?
Fitz.
No. Oh yeah. That's it. Sorry. Fans in the stands. So Fitz.
Yeah. Fans in the stands. Yep.
Fans in the stands. That was it. If you said fan in the stands,
that's crazy.
Or Fitz, then that was a password to get in. And you knew that it was a podcast listener who wanted to join. So originally you had started House of Zod. Like House of Zod is the original podcast clan, right?
Yeah. It was like me and Boneyard said, let's go out incognito. And we'll go out and we'll start a clan from scratch and we'll build it up and we won't tell anything. And this is, it's not like it is now or anything where, you know, we were putting out podcast episodes, but Twitter, we weren't doing anything with Twitter. There wasn't like ways to really see the audience.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like to interact so much unless people were visiting. And so, and I think even at one point, I'm not sure if screenshots were a thing, or maybe I just didn't know about them until later.
maybe not. I can't remember that far. We're getting too old.
Yeah. and so, yeah, that's what happened. So I went and started that. And then I think he started L and we swapped. And this was right when matchmaking started. And maybe the clan was like, Zod was maybe 2 months old or a month. And I think L was just like 3 weeks old and we matched. This was when Clan Wars started. So there was no matchmaking. And we matched and had that big epic war. And so that, yeah, so that, I can't remember where that was in the timeline of Clash, but I think war came along
right around that time. So
like what, 2 or 3 years in?
Yeah. So Clan Wars was April of 2014. Cause I came in, I started playing right after Clan Wars started. I was in June of 2014.
Yeah. And L was started end of June. I think the match happened close to the 4th.
Have you been back to House of L?
Well, I was knocking on the door, but I think it's kind of quiet.
Yeah, I think it's dead. So I actually went back. So I left the game in 2016 and then came back in 2020. And at that time, I was a max Town Hall 10. So when I left, Town Hall 11 had just been introduced. In fact, I don't even think I played Town Hall 11 at 11? All. So yeah, so Town Hall 11 had been introduced. They introduced the Eagle and the Grand Warden. And I remember thinking, oh, that's cool. Oh. And then just putting the game away and never playing. So when I came back,
I remember in 2020, that disappointment. Yeah.
When I came back in 2020, I was a max Town Hall 10. And so I pushed the button to 11 and I went back to House of L to try to get in. And I recognized a few names and I requested with Fitz, with Fan in the Stands. And I got rejected. So,
oh, did you?
I did. They were pretty active in 2020, from my understanding. And then I hadn't checked. I hadn't checked in a long time until I saw you. And I ran back and checked. And it looks like they're dead. Like nobody's there anymore.
Yeah, I did check. You know, in 20, I think it was 2019. I did go back for a while, and then it looks like L2 and stuff are still and relaxed and everything. Just kind of looks like the same gang is there. Mm. And I was chilling in Mailman's postal clan. Nice. Retirement clan.
So how many clans were started? Because I know that was a whole Superman theme going on. There was Phantom Zone. There was Kent Farmhouse. There was LexCorp, which I'm sure there's a story behind that, because that wasn't a part of the Clash of Clans podcast, but it kind of was, right?
Yeah. You know, that kind of stuff like kind of just emerged out of like the clan family thing was kind of crazy. Like, you know, like how that kind of naturally kind of built itself. But basically, Mailman went around impregnating all these villagers in certain these different villages all over the place. And so my only thing at that, I was no more clans. That's what I just had, is no more clans, no more. Oh, you know what? We're just going to do Kent Farmhouse. That way we can, you know, if somebody wants to go over there and do that one. And oh my God, let me think. Oh.
And they were all Superman themed. I mean, Superman, right?
Well, yeah, I've always loved like Superman, Batman, and Boneyard knew way more of like the
DC comics.
Like, yeah, the comic kind of thing of it. And so he had names, and Mailman and them and other people just made up names too. So it was like, I think and then what happens too with the clan families is it's kind of like a regular family. And all of a sudden the main clan has kids. And then
I love your analogy. So well, great.
It's kind of, now I'm thinking about it. Right. So I've got, yeah. And so it would be like, at first it would give birth to like House of L, and then it was, you know, House of Zod and Phantom Zone. Mm-hmm. And Kent Farmhouse. And
yep. And then there was Kent Farmhouse 2.0.
And yep. And then then they had babies. Then there was grandchildren. And
House of L2.
Yeah. And And keep in mind, I'm not anywhere running these things, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just the one trying to pass out.
You're the star.
Condoms and stuff, and no more.
No more.
And
babies.
Like, I'm not going. No more, hey, everybody, let's do this. Let's build this thing up. I'm just trying to like slow it down. Because I mean, what do you know? It's like then there's you know even more people and people trying to move and it gets more and more complicated. And so that's what then the grandbabies, and then it was like L2, L reloaded, L relaxed.
That's right. I forgot about those. L reloaded and L relaxed.
Oh, Smallville.
Smallville, yes. Look at 87. You.
87. Yeah, yes. I don't know where is this coming from?
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. I forgot about all those. So
yeah, Smallville 87, and then there was Phantom Zone. What was it?
It's right there. It's right there.
Yep. It's right there.
Right.
I can't and that's where it kind of started, like it was starting to be hard to know everybody or you know, and you can't really leave your clan that much because you got wars and everything. So,
well, and to fill up. So if you left, it was at 50 members, you left and immediately somebody would join. You could get back in. And there were no minis back then. Nobody had second accounts because it was against terms of service. I mean, some people did. Phantom Warlord.
Yeah.
Did.
Yeah. Yeah. There were people with minis, but it wasn't like we were stacked with minis or we'd use a few minis. Oh man, yeah, some of those deep. Well, yeah, it was always really busy, and you know, people moving between, especially House of L2 and L relaxed, between wars and things, so it was always just busy. And then you know, you could get on teams or
TeamSpeak. Yep.
And there were people on there all the time too. And so it was really, it got really, really social and really fun. So you could always talk to somebody, you know, somebody was hanging out working on a war attack. And then once we went to Discord though, that's when it kind of got a little bit more quiet. I think because you could see on Discord, like if anybody was in the chat, and then on TeamSpeak, you had to just kind of jump in.
Mm.
I don't know if it.
Yeah, that could have affected it.
Was that before you?
So
no, you would have been on TeamSpeak.
So I was on TeamSpeak, and we were online whenever I first joined because I was looking down through at all the messages online because I was actually a part of a clan. I just came back, so I took a 9-month break and then came back and started playing again in September. So I joined a clan and they didn't have Discord. They're just a good group of guys who are pretty good players, but they didn't have anything outside of the game. And so they did have line for if it's like, you know, get your butt into war and do your attack, they needed something. And so that's the only reason that I remember because it popped up and I see like me.
God,
and you.
Yeah. I completely forgot about line.
So I got Big Panda from Phantom Zone. Botox. You remember Botox?
Yep. Yes, I do.
There's Dirty my Minnesota. Pirate. Halligan.
Yep.
Matt, which I think Matt was Phantom Warlord, right? Maybe.
Yeah.
Scotty 827. Rancid Meat.
Yep.
Somebody else.
Yep. SE. Yes.
RM.
Yep. Yep.
RM. Was it RM 87?
84, isn't it? Or was it 87?
RM84. Yeah, you're right. RM84. And I got some
Mighty Buzz.
Mighty Buzzard, yes.
Yep.
I got some of the True Sons guys in there. To go back to LexCorp real quick, LexCorp, I think was kind of started out of the House of L, but they had their own podcast, right? The Clash Cast.
I think. No, you're right. You're right. Yeah, because it was. I think they were part of House of Zod at first, and then they went and started LexCorp, and then they started the Clash Cast, and then the next podcast was the SOAS guys.
Oh, that's right. What's the name of their podcast? Was it? Wasn't a SOAS podcast? What was the name of it? I can't remember the name.
They were funny.
All the podcasts back then were hilarious. I know that I was racking my brain. The Buy Forever show didn't come out of House of L, but if I remember right, you were Rigoletto's your communications expert was you were his first guest. Am I wrong on that?
I think I was on that. And then the Kent Farmhouse people went, like Nat and Halligan and
yes,
Rancid.
I love
they
Nat.
Started theirs, and then I had them on my show.
Yep.
And I think I went on theirs. And then the what was the Soaz guys?
I can't remember. So there was the Buy Forever show, the Clash Files.
Yeah, that was the Kent Farmhouse. They were the Clash Files.
So it was Nat, Halligan, Rancid, and Coop.
Yep.
R. Cooper Katie.
Yep.
And I knew I didn't know Coop very well. I don't think Coop was ever really in House of L. But I knew Nat really well until she quit. That was a big blow up whenever she left. I love Nat, but she would not put up with anything. And there were some shenanigans that were going on.
Oh,
and
yeah.
She was like, "This is not happening." But I'm done.
Yeah, she was a good backup.
Yep. And then Hal and Rancid kept their podcast going for a while. And then there was Saturday Night Hive with Tate.
Oh, yep. Yeah, yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. It's over. Always reminds me of winter. Yeah. And it's like, because it's like it is right now, minus like 12 outside and minus 40 wind chill. I'm doing podcasts those nights from the basement.
from WWBSMT Radio, WBSM. The Clash of Clans podcast.
Yeah, Tate was One Hive, and One Hive was One Hive Jake.
Yep.
I didn't even know I remembered all this stuff.
So you branched off, and some of my favorite episodes were when a guy that you had connected with named Boaz interviewed people in the war community. And I remember my absolute favorite Clash of Clans podcast episode was when Boaz sat down with Jake and they just talked about war stuff. I mean, it was 2 hours of glorious heaven audio to my ears. How did you and Boaz meet? Because that was a big part of the podcast.
He just emailed me. And like, in the thing, hey, you know, I'd like to talk to you, or it was something like that, you know, maybe you do a podcast. And so I think I just got a hold, or we connected, and I think at first he was gonna do his own. I might have this order kind of messed up.
So I remember he hopped on yours just with you and Boneyard a couple times.
Was that before or after that episode?
That was before. So if I remember right, Boaz hopped on with you and Boneyard, did a few episodes, and then he kind of broke off on his own and did Boaz Presents.
Yeah, because he said he wanted to do it. And I was like, yeah. And so I'm almost entirely positive we met over email, and I think he was like the only person that ever, hey, you know, want to be on the podcast or something. Mm-hmm. And so I emailed back. Yeah, we connected, and then he must have came on with me in Boneyard, and I'm willing to bet we needed to get some, like, it had been a while or something, and
you needed some life in a podcast.
Yeah. Or maybe it might've been one of those storms or something where Boneyard couldn't be here or something. And I said, hey, let's record, or we just planned on doing it without Boneyard or something. I can't remember.
That might've been it. Yeah.
And And then we just did a couple like here and there. And it was fun. And it was easy for me because I like, we didn't have to, you know, match up schedules or go to one person's house or the other person's house. And so I think when Boneyard's schedule wasn't working out with mine, it was just like, hey, let's just do a couple more of these. Remember driving home for some late night podcasts and stuff with Boaz. But he was more into the, was it war at that time?
Yes, the war scene. So,
but before that even though, wasn't it?
So I'm not sure. I know that Clan War started in April, and the big thing at that time, because there was no CWL, is CWL new with you? Because I think it was started in 2017.
No, I remember that. Yeah, I remember.
There was no CWL, so there was no matchmaking, like you said. So the only way that you could be the quote-unquote top clan in the game was number of wins.
Yeah.
And I remember the first clan to reach 500 wins or something like that. And there was this group of clans.
Oh, yeah.
This is bringing up memories. This group of clans that was headed to the top. For example, I remember Reddit Troopers being one of clans.
Wow. Yeah.
Had the most war wins. Regevin was the leader. And Boaz was connected with them. And then, of course, he was the leader of the True Sons.
Oh, yeah.
And the True Sons at the time was considered a sister clan to House of El. That just kind of developed naturally, I guess.
You know, man, I haven't heard that. That sister clans, man, was that like loose affiliations like right away?
So there's a lot behind that. there's a big long story that I'm sure you can remember.
I don't ever remember intermingling much with the True Sons. I don't think we were really connected besides like Boaz and affiliated. Because the sister clans. Yeah.
I think maybe you were talking to Boaz on an episode one time, and I think you guys described it as that. I think Boaz is like, yeah, I'm the leader of the True Sons. And you were like, yeah, they're kind of our sister clan. Like they're not a part of the House of El family, but you know,
But it's hard to even do anything. You know, it's like Oh God, yeah.
That was back when you spun for war, you actually had to leave the clan if your heroes were down and you didn't want war. And you had to be invited back. I don't even think you could invite, actually. I think you had to request to join.
Yeah. You just have to leave and come back. And so you would have to, and it would be in by fives, right? Is it still by fives?
Still by fives, yeah. But they dropped it. So back then, I think the lowest that you could war was 2020, I think.
Yeah, because you couldn't be, if 20 people wanted to war and you had 50 in your clan, everybody would have to leave so you could get a 20 match.
Right.
Because otherwise it would just put everybody in.
Yep, exactly.
Except for the bottom three.
Right, yeah. So I forgot about that.
Or bottom, the loose ones.
The matchmaking. So if you had 33 people in your clan and you wanted to do a 30-30, it was based on trophy count. So whoever was top 30 in trophies were the 30 that were automatically picked to go to war.
Oh, yeah.
So if you were in the bottom three, and I don't even think you could choose what the amount of people that you put in war, like it just automatically spun it. So if you had 33 people in war, then it automatically just spun a 30v30 war.
And that's why I was like, oh, we have to leave because my hero's down. Otherwise, I'm going to get stuck in the war.
Right. We did a lot of that.
Yeah.
In and out.
And, you know, kind of for the record, with all
this is live from Scotty 827.
I didn't really I think the House of L probably had the wrong leader. I mean, let me put it this way. I didn't care that much about like being competitive with other clans. Like that's kind of like what everybody else really wanted. You know what I'm saying? Like
eventually, like I don't think that House of L was like that. So when I first joined, House of L was still just very chill. I remember coming in as a Town Hall 9 and I actually got a 3-star and everybody in chat was like, holy cow, like, how did you do that? Like nobody 3-stars ever. I was like, I don't know. I was using hogs. I remember that. I was using hogs. And I remember you like typing in chat, be like, wow, like that's the, and then if I remember right, you recommended that I go over to the True Sons because I had told you that I was wanting to get into One Hive.
Yeah.
Because they were more war focused.
Yeah. Now it's all like coming back. Like it's just weird. It's like a limb I didn't know I had.
it's been a long time.
Hey, third hand.
Yeah. And I know that some of the guys did eventually really get competitive. RM84, I remember, was super competitive. Dirty Pirate got really competitive. If I remember right, DP went over to, it was either War Whales or it was Wiz on Her Face. I can't remember. And Scotty, that's Wiz as in wizard, honor as in honor and glory, and oh, face. Get it right.
Yeah. Well,
Supercell made them change that name, by the way. You know that? They changed it. They forced them to change it to WHF.
Oh my God. You know, well, I guess here's what I mean. The House of L was a congregation point. And like with people wanted to be more competitive. Like, okay, we had people there. We could really do it. And if I wouldn't have been the leader, I think like in the competitive people could have really, you know, like all gotten together. Like, I think it was a drawing rod and kind of what it was for what some people wanted was just, it would have been a much better war clan if I, you know, was like, you know, other people just kick, you know, would probably want to kick somebody out. And it was always kind of like, you know, hey, wait a second, this is supposed to be fun too, you know, kind of thing.
Well, that's what Nat got so upset about, because for Nat, it was always, look, we're here to have fun. Like, this is a game and we have a relationship with this, with these people. I know Bob the Builder and I don't care that Bob the Builder got a 1-star in war. You don't kick him from this clan. And
that was the
balance.
That was like the one, the thing like was the hard thing to try to walk. Cause like, I mean, when we started the podcast and everything like that, podcast House of L was when it was war started. So, I mean, we were making podcasts about farming,
mm-hmm.
you know, jumping over walls. And it was more like, hey, this is what we're doing in the game. Let's talk about sci-fi and stuff like that. Strategy came later on. And there were strategies in there too, because there also wasn't like tons of resources online. And there wasn't, it wasn't TikTok. There wasn't, there was the wiki online, I think.
Yeah. And there was a Supercell forums.
Yeah. And there was a couple, and I don't even know if there was really YouTube, or much YouTube. Maybe there were some early, cause Clash Clans was like 6-7 months old, I think, when we started.
Right.
And so it was just kind of this whole like different time. And I looked online and looking for a Clash podcast and they didn't have one. And I'm like, well, there's a hole, you know, let me, look at that. But when we got, so we kind of started with that. And then when we got walked that line between wanting to have fun and being a serious war clan. And I think that's where, like, I kind of met, you know, Elk was in the in the communities, I guess, with like some of the war clans and stuff that we were doing, but it was trying to kind of walk those two lines, I guess, between the people that we had been around and it being part of the podcast, and then also being people who want to do war stuff.
So I think you
and I'm more with MM. Like, I think I like that stuff better.
You were the perfect leader for the perfect time at that time, because most of the people who were listening were not war centric. Like, most of the podcast listeners were just your everyday normal Joe and Betty who wanted a fun place to reach out to connect. And you were the greatest guy. Like, when you got online, you had great conversations, and that's what people wanted. I mean, I think later on House of L kind of got into the war scene. That was when,
And I got into it too. You know, I liked, right. I liked doing the war stuff for a while, but I guess what I mean, like, with my disclaimer is that was never, I was always kind of holding it back a little bit because of the podcast stuff. And so when the stuff with like,
Champions War League.
I just, when you said that, I just thought of wall debates and things like prestige or ranking was never super important to me. Like, it was kind of like MM, the community. And so when we talk about all this stuff, it wasn't like, a lot of times we were talking to some of the YouTubers or some, I didn't know who they were, or it just was like, oh, this person, okay, let's talk. And
so in the very beginning, there were two big war YouTubers. One, of course, we've already mentioned Jake from One Hive. The other one was Hulk. Hulk was a little more, I don't know the right word. Standoffish isn't the right word, because he was a good guy. He would come to the True Sons quite a bit because he was friends with Boaz. I think Boaz did a Boaz Presents.
What I was just going to ask. I think I remember, because I did watch him on Twitch a couple times.
Yep.
And I don't know if he was just this real laid back.
He's very laid back.
I'm just going to, yeah.
Pump laid back's a better word.
But kind of cutting too, like, if I remember right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
So
and I remember the CR. That's a lot of the time where I first heard about most of the war stuff was from Boaz.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of learning like these, like, behind, whoa, these clans, like, all this stuff exists, you know, about these, you know, big clans, and you know, more about the background of that kind of stuff. And that's why probably when you listen to with Boaz, it was like a whole different take on, because we were talking about Hog Rider songs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, and
I wrote a song for the podcast. You remember it? You played it on the podcast.
I'm thinking of, I have a different one in my head.
So I wrote two songs. The one that you played on the podcast was Who Will Love the Valkyrie.
Oh yeah. Yep. I remember that one.
Such a nerd. I'm such a nerd.
I had, I just had Worms song in my head and I can't remember what it was. I can't remember. But that popped into my head when you said that. He had a really catchy one. God, I'm gonna have to look that up now.
Yeah,
I didn't even know I remembered this stuff, to be honest.
So something happened to you in Boneyard, right? You guys decided to stop doing the podcast.
Yeah, well, kind of, yeah, I guess.
Just kind of
more like
drifted away.
Well, things just got like tense. I think, I don't know if he kind of I don't really know a lot of what he was thinking or anything. And I don't, like, you know, I don't mean any ill will. I really like Boneyard. I think it was just that when the Klan thing got a little bit bigger and you had like House of Zod and you had House of L. Well, Boneyard kind of leaned into the House of Zod, you know, personality a little bit. And it was always a freaking disaster. Every time you try to do a damn, like, oh, let's do a clan get together, you know, we'll all come do a war. Oh, we're not going to be in it now if there's not spying. And there was, you know, all this, like, oh,
spying was, oh my gosh.
Oh my God. And you go, okay, this is going to be easy. This is going to be fun. You know, it's a family reunion. We're all going to get together and hang out. And then all of a sudden, you know, like the House of Zod guys are walking away because of this. And, oh, this person doesn't know if they're going to do whatever. And it's like, oh, my God. And he's there sometimes just egging it on, you know. Not making it any easier.
And Rigoletto's there as well, egging it on.
Egging it on. And I think, you know, at the time I was doing a lot of episodes just like in general. And I probably wasn't communicating with him. Like we'd always kind of been like, whenever he could, he'd say, hey, you want to record? And then there were times where he was gone or he was doing that. And I think when I got really busy with some of the episodes, I think he may have thought, and I don't know, that I was like trying to go without him.
Yeah.
I don't know. But in hindsight, I kind of wonder that. And it was just I guess it doesn't really matter. I think what it was I probably should have been better at that. And I wasn't like purposely like trying to disregard him. But when that little asshole is sitting there causing all this trouble, you know, and then we got to get together and do a podcast about this damn shit. It's like, whoa, you know, like it probably didn't make me go, hey, let's get together super quickly, because we were always kind of putting out fires and stuff. But
that makes sense.
But I think, I don't remember what happened. I think he just kind of left. And I think it was over like a reunion thing. I don't even remember.
That's sad.
But
have you seen him since?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I thought maybe in the grocery store once, but no, I haven't.
So he told a story once. I remember laughing so hard.
Yeah, he's so funny.
He told a story about how he got a lightsaber for Christmas and he opened that thing up. He was in his bathrobe, walked out the front door in the snow and was just sitting there screaming and hooping and hollering and waving around that new lightsaber that he got for Christmas.
Oh my God.
And people were driving by honking the horn. I just, for some reason, I remember that specific story.
He's,
and I remember
really,
laughing for like 10 minutes over
I
that
never
story.
Laugh so hard and like sitting here, and then I'd edit it, you know, and I'd go back and I'd be like trying to put the, you know, and I would laugh so hard. And there was something that we did. I don't think we ever put it out. And I don't, and it may be, I may have lost it at the time. It was Dune. Boneyard does the interpretation of Dune, where he retells Dune.
I think you did that episode.
Did we?
I think so. If I remember, because I remember he was huge into Dune.
Yeah, and there was that where he did it. Maybe it was a part two of that. And I remember laughing just so hard. And he told the whole Dune story. It's just like watching, you know, like somebody on TV when they're like just getting into it. And can recount like every like little detail. And it must have been a 2 hour and a half. And then we did one, I think that was 12 Days of Christmas or something. There was something else that I just died laughing.
Mm-hmm. I think I remember that as well.
But yeah, I think when you get into those war communities, and like I said, you know, we kind of started it when we were farming, and he got married during
that's right
the middle of it, and or maybe right towards the end, so his life was changing. I was dating somebody in Iowa, so I was driving back and forth. Mm-hmm. So
I remember that.
So when I was able to record and do that stuff, it was just like, it was just easier to go, hey, let's do this, or and our schedules won't meet up or something. But I'm sure I did something somewhere.
So one of the reasons why the war thing was so blown up was because modding was such a big issue back then.
Oh yeah.
Do you have any recollections on how all of that affected House of El?
Well, I think we kind of gravitated up most people who are, like you were saying, there were lots of people who aren't super serious war people, you know, but wanted to be part of that stuff, who were like-minded and didn't like modding. And I didn't really know what it was that much. I just knew, let you practice attacks,
mm-hmm.
As many times as you want. And we just said, hey, no mod. And pretty much everybody at the time was saying, yeah, modders suck and
mm-hmm.
blah, blah, blah. And I think we ended up, if there was anybody that modded, I think they just left. Or some people that I found out about later on. But I remember kind of sweeping the community. Because wasn't it like all of a sudden getting banned? Or like there were breaks in it or something? And
so that was the problem. For a long time, Supercell didn't do anything about modding.
Yeah.
And I would say for a year. And so, remember at this time, the only way that you could reap the Clash of Clans glory was by your clan war wins, the number of wins.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And so modding was kind of a way to ensure that you won the war. And I had gone over to the True Sons, and they were a much better clan. They were pretty high tier clan. If I remember right, we were at one time, they had this ranking system. We were ranked in the top 10 of all of Clash of Clans, which granted, now there are probably 2 million clans. Back then, there were probably 20,000. I mean, there were much less clans, especially war clans. Like there were only a few hundred war clans, I would say. And the True Sons were ranked in the top 10. I remember specifically a war that we had with Semper Invictus, and Semper Invictus was ranked in top 20. And we went up against, we matched in war.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember talking about that. I can remember a picture, and I think that was the thing. We had like a bunch of people too. Like there, you guys had the, there's a really hardcore war community,
mm-hmm.
but then we were still getting matched with some of them.
Yep. Yeah. Because like, your town hall breakdown was very similar with a lot of the war communities breakdown. So you would have, you know, 20 town hall 10s, 15 town hall 9s, and, you know, 5 town hall 8s. And that was pretty much what the mixed breakdown was for top war clans. And so you would match a lot of them because of that.
I wonder what our win rate against them was. I mean, I remember beating some of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that kind of gave people too, that came that wanted to war the wars, because we were just automatically getting in stuff like that and not seeking it out too, really, I think, at the time. I don't know.
So I'm not sure if you remember, but I was a part of the True Sons for probably 8 months.
I remember. I would
say 8 or 9 months.
Yep.
And then Boaz was still presenting on the podcast every now and again. And the True Sons were always this herald for, it was called Fair Play versus Modding. And they decided to take a vote on whether or not they were going to become a modding clan. And not that there's anything to defend. And we're talking 7 years ago, right? So this is all in the past. But in their defense, they were trying to compete with the best of the best. They were trying to compete with the Clash Heads, the Reddit Troopers, you know, all of these big name clans, and all of them already modded and modded openly, basically mocked Supercell. And so the True Sons, the way that they justified it was, look, if we want to compete, we have to play on an equal playing field. So therefore, we are going to vote whether or not we want to try to continue to compete or whether we're not going to worry about it. And the clan voted. And I think if I remember right, like only me and Itachi voted not to mod. And they had this vote. It passed. And then me and Itachi actually left right after that happened and came back over to House of L.
I remember that.
And I think we ended up in House of L too.
I just hated the whole modding.
The drama. Debate,
the drama.
Yeah.
And I think that's where, you know, the competitive, like, I just, in my life, I'm more cooperative than I am, like, competitive. And that's, like, and so when that competitive shit was kind of getting pushed back on, it's like, you know what? I hate modding. It's stupid. Why does anybody want to break the game? You know what I mean?
It didn't make sense. Like you're not going to be, the reason that you play is so that you can get better at something.
Yeah.
And granted, you can get better by practicing it over and over and over again. But to me, it didn't make any sense.
But also, who cares that much?
That too.
It's
a freaking mobile phone game.
Yeah. Like, you know, why not? And it happens in other games too, where,
yeah,
like, I played like some VR stuff, and you get into like, and all of a sudden there's like somebody who's breaking the game, obviously cheating, and it just pisses me off. And I think that, you know, towards kind of when I stopped playing, it was just so much drama with that kind of stuff. And even when you weren't involved in it, it kind of pushes back on you or whatever. And so it just, yeah, I just hated that. I hated like,
yeah,
I hated talking about it after a while. And I just didn't really get it. I didn't get it. I didn't get why Supercell wasn't shutting it down. And I don't know, the whole thing was baffling. Yeah.
So eventually they did start to nip it in the bud. And I don't know if you remember, do you remember a YouTuber by the name of Powerbang?
I remember. Did I interview him? I don't think I did.
I don't think so. No.
Yeah, I remember the name for sure.
Powerbang, Clash with Ash.
Yep.
Was a big one.
Clash came, or Ash came on my show once.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. I still follow his YouTube channel. He got into Clash Royale for a while, but then he stopped. And he's kind of doing these talks with Ash. I like his perspective. He has some interesting stuff to say. But
yeah, he's
anyway,
a good guy.
So Powerbang and Clash with Ash. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else. I think Galadon was there. And they were doing the announcing for the Champions War League. So right now we have the Clash of Clans World Chief Championships. Pat. I don't think Chief Pat was there. I think Chief Pat had done some previous stuff for Clash of Clans, but I don't think he was there for this one. But they were announcing for the Champions War League Championships, and Powerbank's plan was WHF, was on her face. And he and WHF was in the finals. I don't know if they were the final one of the final two clans, but they were in like the top 10 or something. And so Powerbank did the announcing and was flying back, and all of his players had been kicked out of the clan by Supercell and were, if I remember right, banned for 30 days, including Powerbank.
Oh.
By Supercell. So they did eventually, and Powerbank was pissed. Oh my God.
Good.
He was so pissed. He made a video, YouTube video. Yeah. And he was just so, he actually switched over to Fortnite. No, not Fortnite. PUBG Mobile, and just completely said, forget Clash of Clans, I'm doing PUBG from now on. And he blew up in PUBG. Like, he became very, very popular. Him and Clash with Ash actually started a mobile advertising agency that became super popular as well. Signed up a bunch of YouTubers. Interesting. That's a whole nother story. But he basically said, forget it. But point being, Supercell started to try to do something, but the only thing that they could really do was ban people. And I think that's really all they can do now, because you still hear of bans happening from time to time.
Yeah.
I don't hear of modding anymore. I don't know.
Not really a reason to, if you got the bases, I guess they would show the traps or.
Well, and it's hard too, because with ESL,
I think I just saw a couple YouTube videos back in the day. So I now, obviously didn't mod. I could prove that by all my war tags. Or I was the worst modder in the history.
So now these esports leagues have 45-minute matches, and you have like 5 minutes to hit the base. So there's really not an opportunity to practice on the base beforehand anyway, much less having the traps. So
that's the way it should be.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
It's like straight up talent, you know, like, get used to losing sometimes. It's okay.
Yep.
You know, that was the fun. Those wars, when it was close, it didn't even matter if we won or lost. In fact, I don't really remember those wars that we won. I just remember the close wars. And mm-hmm. in the close wars, I still don't even remember of those which ones we won or lost. It was always just that it was close, and we were like right there, kind of, you know, with the L train going.
Yep.
And watching attacks and popping on and like and just having a good time. But I don't really remember the wins or the losses.
It was just a good
time. I
think
we did beat One Hive, though. I remember that win.
You think you guys did. So One Hive went really high, and then I think they really started to take a dip.
Yeah, I think it was modding and stuff too.
Yeah, it was all over the place. It was I got out. So I got out in 2016, right when all of that was just kind of taking a peak.
Yeah,
and then I was like, okay,
I remember you saying that. Yeah, because you made it around to a lot of those, and I think the only. I enjoyed meeting One Hive that time, because it's just they talk shit. That clan family was like super prestigious, and it was. And I think yeah. I had a big disagreement with Jake on something. I don't remember what it was. I mean, not anything like hope. It's just something he always said, I can't remember what it was. But maybe it was the deer heads on the wall, like.
That's right.
In the echoey chambers. I don't.
Yep.
I just, all these things are flashing in my head.
Yeah. So Halligan set up a war one time, and you were in this war. It was called, the clan was called the Sound Snipers. And I was in there. You were in there. All the other podcast people were in there. And Jake was in there, and we did a war. I remember he came in. I think he brought his Town Hall 9. He got a 1-star. And a 2-star on his attacks. I remember that very, very clearly, because he came in, didn't say anything to anybody, did his hits, and immediately left, which I would have too if that were me, because I don't think he really had time for it.
Yeah, and like, yeah, because it was like the SOAS podcasters, it yep. was the podcasters, yeah, Halligan, Rancid, now, oh yeah, now I'm, yep. it's all flashing back to me. Yeah, I think it was because it was, he always made it sound like, oh, it's so easy to just three-star any bass or,
yep.
and
yep.
that kind of stuff just drives me nuts. And I yep. was like,
the proof is still out there, so I haven't checked it in a while, but Halligan still has his Clash of Clans YouTube channel up, and yeah. that video is still available, and he doesn't show Jake's hits, but as he's scanning through the hits to show some highlights, Jake goes past and you see one star and two star.
I do think there was some politics around that, if I remember.
Yeah.
Just like,
so silly.
Yeah. But yeah, it's weird how like it, but it's like real communities and stuff, you know, yeah. like real people, real, but just no like physical location, I guess. But it, so like, yeah, the world is big on that side.
Yeah.
Yeah. More can really ever tell people in a lot of ways, but yeah, that's, it was little things like that, and the modding, it was just like made me miss just the farming days.
Yeah.
And so when I popped on this at Christmas, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm just gonna check it out, see what it is, maybe I'll do something. And then I just have been raiding. I was in the clan, the mailman's clan, and I just started upgrading, but it certainly is a lot easier to get loot.
Yes.
No, armies. A lot
easier.
Armies don't cost anything.
Armies don't cost anything anymore. You use sneaky goblins yet?
No.
You gotta boost them. So we now have super troops, and you have yeah. to boost yeah. them. And the sauna or whatever it's called. Use
there's a lot goblins. Of stuff here.
Holy cow. That's so easy to farm. You can get 5 million in loot in 30 minutes.
Really?
Yes.
Well, so what are, okay, this was my question. I look at this now and I go, what are people doing in the game? Is it just war? Is it, what's happening with the community?
So war is a big part of Clash of Clans now, especially with the introduction of hero equipment. So they just, and I'm not sure if you found out about that or not, but they,
oh, I've been upgrading them.
The blacksmith.
Yep. I got that going.
Yep. So the only way to get the ore that you need to upgrade your hero equipment is through wars, through Clan War League, and then your 5-star bonus. So you have to be getting your 5-star bonus, and you have to be doing wars in order to get that ore. And then, of course, you have to be in CWL, which is war. And so that has caused, from my perspective, the entire community to just be about war. And a lot of clans had kind of given up on war. So they did CWL every month, but didn't really war that much. And so I think the popularity of warring had gone down so much that Supercell was like, look, let's do something to bring war back into the focus. Oh, here, let's attach this ore to war. And the only way you can get it is to war. And so a lot of clans are going back to warring back to back to back like they used to in the old days.
Oh, so it kind of slowed down. Was when I came back, maybe I knew about this, just the slowdown, or maybe I was leaving or just kind of took a break that ended up being a few years. like as it was starting, or like, I just remember like preparing for the one war or something.
What else have you noticed? about the game that's new and different? And you're like, holy cow, holy cow, holy cow.
Let me tell you what I don't like. No. Well, first of all, I came in on the cookie, the Christmas thing. So it was, I didn't know what was what.
Yep.
I think when I left and it was, or I came back and I started with the builder base was new to me. So I don't have tons on there. And also
nobody they plays that. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Well, then they added another one. And I don't really like this builder base.
Clan Capital.
Yeah. And that thing, I didn't even see it until I got in your clan. And it just, you know, I don't know what this forge is.
Yep. So you don't have to worry about the forge. So the forge is for max accounts whose builders are sitting idle. They can make Clan Capital Elixir, and that's probably not what it's called, but and you can make the elixir in the forge by converting your home village elixir and gold and dark elixir into Clan Capital Elixir, so you can upgrade stuff in the Clan Capital. That's what the forge is for. But if you're still upgrading, then all your builders are busy, so the forge is useless to you as a player.
So what about these? Okay.
So that there is the Clan Capital. So the Clan Capital is a lot like Builder Base, but it's only on the weekends. That's the only time you can play Clan Capital. Now you can do practice hits.
Oh, you can?
Yeah, you can do practice hits. But the only time that you actually play, it opens on Friday and then closes on Sunday night.
How do you do practices? So first of all, I just saw this yesterday, like this
past weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. And I went into it yesterday. I think was the first day I did it.
Uh-huh.
That was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. It is pretty cool.
I thought it was, and maybe this is me, you know, first of all, I'm going to say there's a few of these troop ideas that I think came from our podcast.
Yes. No, this is 100%. So I've told people this before. There are two troops specifically, and I know for a fact that came from your podcast.
And for the record, they were submitted by listeners.
So one of them was the headhunter.
Yep.
So
that's what I thought too.
You guys specifically talked about, and you and Boneyard called it the assassin is what you called it. And you said a troop that will go straight for the heroes and will take them down somehow.
Exactly.
That's troop number one. Troop number two is actually a siege machine. And that's the wall wrecker. Wall wrecker? Is that wall breaker? Wall wrecker?
Yeah. One of them.
Yeah, whatever it's called.
One of those weird looking.
But you and Boneyard talked about it. And I remember Boneyard saying,
and there's a dig machine.
It would be super cool if we had some kind of troop that would load up our clan castle troops and it would break through the walls and just goes directly to the town hall. You guys talked about those two.
I remember that specifically.
Years before the headhunter and the wall wrecker were introduced.
And there was a catapult. I didn't
know about that.
But you can't really. And these came from, there was something else that I saw. What is this? Here's what I dislike. You can't see the troop levels, like the max level.
It is different. So before they would show the stars. You're right. They would show the stars like in the troop training bar. But now it's just numbers in the bottom left. And they also got rid of the bars that kind of showed you how far along you were. And they don't have the bars anymore. But I heard that they're bringing that back because they had enough outcry.
I'm looking at it, you know, coming back and I'm thinking to myself, well, where, what is my max for this town hall?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I'm 13 and I must have came back in. No, 12. I think I rushed it up right when TH12 came out. And I remember I know it was farther after that, but some of those updates were really hard. Like the eagle Mm-hmm. Artillery update episode was really a tough one, especially after the you couldn't hit anything in war with it.
Yep.
Let me see here. I'm looking at these. So there was, I can't even, so when I'm looking at those troops, it's not really showing up.
So yeah, there's a lot of new stuff.
What is this Root Rider?
So that's brand spanking new. That was introduced in December. And that's only available at Town Hall 15 and 16.
No, Boneyard would love that. That's a freaking sandworm.
It's Dune right there.
That's probably another one of those ideas.
Maybe.
Apprentice Warden. So I what's think, that new hero? That's what I'm thinking about going up to TH13 really quick.
So the Royal Champion?
Is that what it is?
So the Royal Champion is the fourth hero, and her ability is she carries a shield. She's defensive targeting, so she's like a hog or a loon. And whenever you hit her ability, she throws her shield, and it severely damages the closest four defenses in a succession. So it's not necessarily the closest four defenses to her, but she throws the shield to hit a defense, and then the next closest defense to that, and then the next closest defense to that, four defenses. She's pretty powerful. And then there's also
you like her?
I do, yeah. Yeah. She's pretty hot.
Because I was thinking, like, it would be worth going to TH13 just to get her so I could just keep her down.
Well, and just to light a fire underneath you, at Town Hall 14, you get hero pets.
Yeah, what the hell is that?
Hero pets accompany the hero.
It's getting sick in here.
And give them special abilities. So at Town Hall 14, you have the yak, which can help break through walls. And you can put these pets on any hero that you want. So the yak will break through walls. The unicorn will heal the hero slowly, kind of like a healer. The electric owl flies and does kind of like e-drag shots, except it only ricochets one time. I think the e-drag ricochets four times, I think, but just one time. And then there's Lassie. It's technically not Lassie. It's L.A.S.I. And Lassie, it just whatever your hero is attacking, Lassie attacks it as well.
Oh,
or no, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of some of the future ones. Lassie attacks buildings around the hero, but not necessarily the building that the hero is attacking.
So what are people warring? So, okay, I'm thinking about it and about going up or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, you know, and I got a lot of stuff still to do, but I'm not that bad of a rush, I don't think.
You should see my strategic rush base. I'm at Town Hall 13. Take a look at it. Tal Shiar and the clan. Oh my gosh.
What are people? So I even just looked at my hero levels and I was trying to figure out, well, what's the max hero level right now?
So for Town Hall 12, it's 65, 65. Yeah, 65, 55, and 25, or 20 for the RCs in at Town Hall 13. Gosh. And then, okay. But max right now, oh boy, I think it's 95, 95 for the King and Queen. I think it's 80 for the Warden, and then 65, I think, for the RC. Crap, you had to ask me that.
Well,
I should know these.
I have to like process in my head. RC, what?
Oh, RC. Sorry, Royal Champion. Yeah, Royal.
Yeah,
Champion.
No. Yeah. So I'm not doing too bad actually, because my queen is at 60.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
My king, I just put down to 51,
mm-hmm.
And my warden's going to 30.
Yeah, so you're not too far 29. Off from max Town Hall 12 heroes.
Yeah, my I must have been at 12 for a while. Or just, and my research is mostly, well, it's got some work, but.
Yeah, well, and the beautiful thing about, they just redid the hero potion and the power potion. So the hero potion used to add 5 levels to your heroes, but now when you pop a hero potion, it makes your heroes max at whatever town hall you're at. So if you just rushed all the way to Town Hall 16 and you popped a hero potion, your heroes would be 95, 95, 80, 65 immediately for an hour.
So what are people warring with? Like, in
depends on what town hall you're at.
And well, I guess if our wars, like people maxing out their bases, like, oh, it's only max. Oh God, I just keep thinking TH12s, but must be max TH14s.
Yeah. I mean,
or is it like,
it's all over the place. It's all over matching the place.
Up base, like a normal clan.
If you're just having fun, I mean, there are millions of clans out there now. So it's basically play how you want now. Now, if you're wanting to do competitive, then you have to max out the clan at that town hall. So, for example, I did competitive, no siege, town hall 11, and then competitive, no siege, town hall 12.
Is no siege like a keep the weight down thing?
No, so you can't use a siege machine in those attacks. So no attacks. No wall wrecker, no siege barracks, you know, none of the siege machines you can use, no log launcher. You can still use a CC, but you can't bring a siege machine.
For what?
And those are for competitive wars.
But does it have the option of it?
Those are just community developed, Supercell does.
Oh, so you go, we're not going to drop those things?
You can still war with them in just regular wars and in Clan War League and Supercell Clan War League. You can still use all of that. But if you want to do competitive stuff, like in special community-driven leagues, such as Champions War League. Champions War League's still around. I don't think that they do any competitive Town Hall 11 or 12. They could.
But what you're saying is, like, if that's the rule of that war.
Yes, exactly. So if you enter into the league as a Town Hall 11, when you do your attacks, it's, you know, 10 Town Hall 11s versus 10 Town Hall 11s. Nobody can use siege machines in those attacks. And you have to try to 3-star each other's bases without siege machines.
Oh, I probably wouldn't be great at any place super competitive.
It's a lot of fun though, man. It is a lot of fun. I loved it.
I haven't been doing too bad on some of these attacks. So.
Yeah, you did really well. Like this recent war.
I kind of wondered. I've been raiding and stuff, and I'm like, oh, maybe this is just people forgot the old ways of attacking.
Yeah.
And so, I mean,
I haven't seen a healer on a golem in a long time.
Oh, you haven't? I'm probably teaching the kids something new.
You're teaching them old school. Teach them the Scotty 827 way.
Yeah, well, I was trying that ice golem. Or not. Was it Yeti? Or the...
Uh-huh.
I was trying healers on those, but that wasn't doing too great. But yeah, I was just cutting them up with the two healer, like, 6 witches.
Yeah.
And then bowlers in 1 cleanup minion. And I was just slicing bases.
Yeah. You just got to play with it, you know? There's so much variety to Clash of Clans now.
What are people like, what's like typical raid?
Or, as far as army comp?
Yeah, like, what do you see, like, hitting your base?
At Town Hall 16, Root Riders are super popular. At Town Hall 15...
Wait a second, did you say Town Hall 16?
Yep, there's Town Hall 16, just introduced in December.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Yep.
I thought there were only 14.
No. So my main base is at Town Hall 16, Tip Dog 20. It's not in the clan. It's in another clan, a competitive clan.
Oh, okay. Well, holy shitballs.
Yeah, Town Hall 16.
I'm sitting here going, yeah, I'm going to rush up. And then, I'll be sitting there right close to the top. No, I'm behind.
just a few town halls.
Yeah, that's not too bad. I should jump up then.
Yeah,
it kind of makes a huge difference. Look, if you're between it, you know, when I left or last time I was playing TH11 and 12.
Yeah,
like if you were 8 or 9 at the time, it's like, well, that didn't really matter that much. Now I'm like 8 or 9.
Yeah. So wow. If you're going to stay in Quark's Bar, like, rush it up. I mean, I have no problem with that. I don't care. If you're rushed, though, and you try to join another clan where you're kind of an unknown, or you're trying out, then you might have difficulty being a rushed quote unquote account. But I mean, I have fun in Quark's Bar. Right now I have it closed, but actually do you think you'll stick around, or are you going to go back to Melman Matt's plan?
I'll probably just hang out for a while and try out a couple. This was the first war I had been in.
Yeah. Two of them. Yeah. So this is what I'll do. Right now Quark's Bar is closed. If somebody's listening to this podcast, it's obviously towards the end of the episode. If you want to stop by and say, hey, to Scotty827, I will actually make it so that you can join the clan, and I will make the password FITS, fan in the stands, or FITS. The clan tag is #2LYRJRQUV, Quark's Bar, QUARK'S BAR, if you'd like to war with Scotty, the great Scotty827.
Yeah, I could have just texted you or
funny that I still have your number after all these years, isn't it?
Yeah, I was like,
and you haven't changed your phone number.
No, I've had the same phone number for like 20 years.
That's so funny.
But of course I was like, you know what? I'm going to go and just kind of see how, you know, I don't know who's still around, you know, like, but maybe I'll just go on a journey. And, I'm just going to slink around, and here I am doing a podcast with you like a month later.
Well, like I said, I had zero plans. I had retired from podcasting, did my last episode. I did 2 years of episodes. It was good. It was fun. I had a really good time. Met some really great people, talked to some YouTubers, information. And then I was done. Like, I had done it for a couple years, and it was just time for me to move.
It's a lot of work, isn't it?
It's a lot of work. So I was spending about 10 hours a week, because I produce weekly. So a new episode every week, and I was spending about 10 hours a week. And then also it was costing me money, because in my profession, I have complete control of my schedule. So I was blocking off periods of time to record episodes. And during that time, I wouldn't accept jobs or assignments. And so I was losing money at the same time. So it was difficult. My wife and I bought a new house, and there was a lot going on. And so I just said, look, I can't continue to do it. YouTube now though.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. You're saying you were recording that.
Yeah. But I can do that in my free time, and I'm actually making a couple $100 a month off of that.
Oh, so that's awesome.
It's the exact opposite of podcasting. Yeah.
It sounds easy, you know, it's not easy. Kind of looks easy. Like, you know, and that's where, when you're doing it right, it's supposed to look effortless. Like, that's when you know somebody's doing it right.
Yeah.
But the time on the other end, and
it was a lot,
you know, the website and the hosting and trying to figure out these things, and on top of your other stuff, it burns you out after a while. Like, it just kind of got to be taxing.
Yeah, so I'm not gonna bother editing any of this like I edited before.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'm gonna have to click the explicit button, because we had a few words that were
that
popped up during the episode, which is totally fine, because I'm good with it. I may throw in some intro music in the very beginning, but other than that, I'm not gonna mess with it. So
yeah, I was trying to be very careful.
No, you were good. You're fine.
Yeah. I was thinking about getting a hold of Mailman and kind of seeing what those guys are doing in the war stuff. But I didn't know I honestly, when I look at this stuff, you know, it looks really familiar, but like I said, I didn't look, you couldn't see like what the top things were. So I couldn't quite get a handle on how far back.
So if you click on Chief's Journey, which is, if you click the town hall and then you click in the bottom right, it says Chief's Journey. You can see everything that you have ahead of you. And they just added that about six months ago, a year ago, maybe a year ago.
Worse than that.
So there's lots of stuff that you have to look forward to. Lots of stuff. Lots of cool stuff.
Does it feel like forward to, or does it feel like chores? No.
I looked at your
Town Hall 13. That looks like a pretty advanced base.
So I have my Town Hall 13 is max. My Town Hall 12 is max. My Town Hall 11 is max. But those are max because I do competitive.
Oh, there's your tell.
I do competitive matches with those accounts. And so with competitive matches, it's best to have the max Town Hall at that level. So if it's a Town Hall 11 match, then you want a max Town Hall 11 to take with you to war. If it's Town Hall 12, same. You want a max Town Hall 12 to take you to war. And then a max Town Hall 13. I do have a couple other accounts that are kind of in between Town Halls. And then I have my main, which is a Town Hall 16. I'm a little bit behind on that. Because
did the map get bigger for you?
I don't think so. I think it got bigger like back in 2017, but it has not gotten bigger since.
So the Town Hall 16 is just like it's way
crammed.
More stuff.
Yeah, it is crammed full of stuff.
Wow. Well, yeah, here I am sitting there going, well, my archer towers are at 14. That's, you know, I'll catch up really quickly on those. Wow, I do have some more work.
It'll be fun though.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah. It's been fun so far. I just, life gets busy, but it's, you know, it's changed in that, like, it is nicer how you can come in. And although, like, I think there's an art to the balancing the cost of the army to how much you're going to get. I feel like that's a little strange. That'd be like hundreds of episodes of content out the window because of that, how much that costs.
Very true.
It is really easy to do like two raids in a row and leave, and farming seems much easier. That's kind of why I was asking, like, if war is the ultimate goal still now for
pretty
people,
much,
or if it is just building up.
Pretty much. It's a lot more fun to play today than it was 7 years ago. It's a lot more fun to play.
Since the Eagle came out, things have gotten better. That update, I just remember that update and being super excited for it and being so let down and really having a hard time.
Yeah,
even just being excited about people leaving.
It was a big deal.
Yeah, keep a smile on my face was pretty tough.
You have any shout outs before we end off?
Shout out to the fans in the stands, I guess.
Fans in the stands.
Yeah. Dirty Pirate, Mailman, Benji,
Phantom Warlord,
of course.
I haven't heard from. I don't even think he plays anymore. I haven't heard anything from him.
I'll text with him here and there.
Ah, nice.
Oh, he's always everywhere. He's somewhere.
They're like 10 of him.
I have met him though in person.
Oh,
like we
that's
went,
amazing.
Yeah, we went to Benji's one of Benji's weights games. And
oh, that's right.
I met R. Cooper Katie too. Yeah.
Wait, he was a baseball player.
Yep, a pitcher.
Oh my gosh, I remember that.
So I text with them here and there. And Steven just by me, I shouldn't shout out to anybody because now I'm forgetting other people. But yeah, it was nice talking to you and catching up. There's much more to this than I thought there was. But yeah, it's good seeing you again, I guess.
Yeah. So before people get super excited, I still don't have any plans to do a podcast. I mean, I may throw up an episode up every now and again, but this is not the reemergence of the Clash Chess podcast. This is just, oh my gosh, Scotty827 is playing Clash of Clans again, and it's been 7 years since I've talked to him. We have to get on and chat.
Catch up.
That's all that this is. So
yeah, we really hadn't had any time to catch up before this. So yeah. This is all.
It's been great. It's been great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, until next time.
All right. Well, we'll see you later, man.